Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
Of Psalm 107, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Psalm 107 is all about God's goodness and our response to His goodness. Hallelujah. By constantly being thankful and grateful unto Him. Hallelujah. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so is part of your proclamation, part of your confession. It's part of the act of Holy Communion. Not what you vocalize in your verbiage, but what you do in your life is part of a proclamation. There's two great public proclamations in the Christian experience, and it's Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper, and water baptism. Everybody say water baptism and Holy Communion. They're both public proclamations. Amen. Water baptism is proclaiming what has happened spiritually in your life, publicly and visibly, something anyone can watch. It's foolish to men, but it's commanded of God. And Jesus set the great example, amen, to be baptized in water. We're buried with Him. It's symbolic of this death to our old self and particularly to our sins. Isn't it great that we are identified in His death? We are identified in His burial. Where are those sins? They're buried with Him. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Where's that old man, the Bible's buried with Him? Praise God. And but then not only is sin forgiven, but we are raised with Him. We're identified with His death. We're identified with His burial. And the Bible said we are raised with Him to walk in the newness of life. That's to walk in the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That's available to you and me this morning. All of us that are living the humdrum Christian life, that power is available. That dynamic is available to you and I this morning. You don't have to just drag yourself through life. The power that raised Jesus is available to you. Amen. You'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen. And if the Spirit of Him that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He will also quicken or give the same quality of life, resurrection life, to you. You realize what's in your spirit right now is eternal. You realize if you shed this body, if a terrorist blew us up, instant death would mean what? Say that with a little more conviction. Instant glory. To be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. Why? Because right now, as a believer, you're never going to die. Didn't say this old hull isn't going to fall off. Amen. This old bone bag, but you're not going to die. One preacher tried to wax eloquent, and he didn't get his notes together good. He was trying to think up a good illustration about a man. It was a very somber funeral, a very respected man in the community, and he thought he would liven it up with an illustration of his own. And he said what? And he was trying to explain that this man had professed faith in Christ, therefore his spirit was with the Lord. What you're looking at is just the body that he lived in. So he said, what you see here is just the shell. The nut has went to heaven. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, he was theologically correct, but probably inappropriate in the way he brought it forth. Of course, for some of you, I may use that. Praise God. Kim. Anyway, moving right along. And she'd probably laugh from heaven and say, yeah, he's getting me back for those things I did to him when he was a young pastor. What? Yeah, what? Hallelujah. Isn't it good to be redeemed today? As we get ready for Holy Communion, we're about to make a proclamation, a public declaration of faith in receiving communion. I just want to read this to you because I want to tell you what proclamation means so you'll understand a Greek word in a moment that's involved with communion. To proclaim is to declare publicly. It's always something done publicly. I love the way Billy Graham puts it when he makes that call out to those thousands of people to come forward to receive Jesus. He said, everyone that Jesus called, He called publicly. Can you say amen? It is actually required to being saved that you make a public confession of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? He said, if you're ashamed of me before men, there's no private experience with God where you get saved in your little dark room and you never live anything or say anything or do anything to indicate that you are That's baloney. I've heard people say, well, it's a very private thing. No, it is not. It's a very public thing. And Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father and before his angels. But if you will confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father and before his angels. The scripture went on to say, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. But he isn't even saved yet. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth he confesses unto salvation. The early church leader said, we have believed, therefore have we spoken. Can you say amen? You can't be a tight-lipped Christian concerning your faith. You have to confess Jesus. The Bible actually says concerning the faith, not just getting your Lamborghini. Amen. Amen. But concerning the faith of the gospel, hold fast your profession of faith without wavering, because he is faithful who promised. That word profession in the Greek is the word for confession. And it literally means in the Greek to say the same thing as another. Everybody say, to say the same thing as another. You know what we need to do in the body of Christ? We need to really get committed enough to the truth of God's word. That we don't say what we feel. We don't say what seems to be the circumstance. We begin to say what God says. Let's try a little bit of that this morning. I am what God says I am. How many believe that's biblically true? I have what God says I have. And I can do what God says I can do. Wow. What if we would say that instead of I can't? Say what Paul said in light of what God said about him. I can. When God said, my grace is sufficient for thee, from that moment, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Can you say amen? Wow. The moment that God said, I'll never leave you, Paul said, he has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, that we might boldly say, not just quote it verbatim, but react to it in faith and come alongside it in what we say. Amen. Hebrews 13:5. He has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That we might boldly say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. No, that we might boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. You may not even remember verbatim the scripture, but you know it's there. You know the sense of it, and you can say in line with it from your heart what God has said. Can you say amen? Isn't that good that you can do that? What is the chapter and verse? I don't always know every chapter and verse. I know people who do. That's why I say they ought to be me. They ought to be behind a pulpit. Now, it's not about Bible memory. It's about grabbing hold of truth and lining up with it. Your emotions are so flaky. And you go through changes in your life. And you can't help it. You're going to age. Listen, and women are not. We just lay that trip on women. Men go through middle-age stuff. They go through less testosterone. They go through different things in their life and their bodies, and it affects their emotions. Men may look like they're emotionless, but don't cut them off in traffic. Amen? You can't always get up with your emotions on a high just because you're a Christian. Your emotions are subject to stimuli. Amen? That means that phone call, that family situation that comes up. The Bible said, actually, the devil's going to hit you where it hurts. Your enemies, your real enemies, the one that can really do you harm that Satan uses, will be they of your own household. Amen? People I love are the people who can hurt me the most. My enemies can't do me much damage because I love them in the Lord. You know what I mean? I'm going to do the right thing toward them, but I don't feel something. It's not going to break my heart when they talk about me being terrible or awful. But boy, if a friend does it, my heart is shattered. If a loved one does it, it just eats me up. I have to really go to God to get over it. My mother can still break my heart if she chooses to. My dad can still break my heart. Amen. Because I give them my heart. My wife can break my heart, and I can break hers. That's why we need to handle one another's hearts with the utmost care. Can you say amen? How many know the person you love is the person you need affirmation from in return. Amen? And confirmation from. That's why God is so great. He's a lover. That God is anything in Scripture, He's a, for God so loved, is a powerful, powerful revelation of who God is and what He's all about. Amen. I am what God says I am. I'm a son of God. I don't get up in the morning and suddenly have a sense of that. But it's settled in my soul that I belong to Him. That I've been brought into His very family. I am what God says I am. I am not what I feel like at any given time. I am what I am. That sounds like Popeye, doesn't it? I am what I am what I am. Can you say amen? We ought to be who we are in Jesus. Not who we feel like or who we are according to the flesh, but who we are in Jesus Christ. You are a royal priesthood. Amen. I don't know where you are on the social strata, but the fact that you're here, you must not be very high up the ladder. Because if you're high up the ladder, where you go to church even matters. That image is all important, but if you're not even on the ladder, you could actually come to church here. Hallelujah. Park out in the grass. Praise God. If we had a tent up today because we were doing something special outside, you could sit out in that tent and God would still move. Wouldn't have to be a great cathedral. Hallelujah. Amen. But you are a royal priesthood. Has nothing to do with your strata in society. Honey, the bias in our society goes way beyond black, white, or yellow, red. Amen. It's not just Hispanic and gringos. Amen. It's not about that. You know what it's really about? When you get right down to it, it's between the rich and the poor. The people of means and the people that do the menial jobs. Amen. That's why I love to respect and honor the person cooking French fries, where I eat my fast food, where I get my fast food fix once a week. Once a week, I allow French fries. Amen. And my flesh says, bring it on. Because I've been eating turkey sandwiches, amen, to keep the cholesterol down and use wisdom. Amen. You can't just eat, all that fat back and then have someone praying over your cholesterol and your blood pressure. Anyway, moving right along. I heard up in Tennessee somewhere, this is really true, there's a health food store right beside a old-fashioned barbecue where they have fresh barbecue every day. And the health food store says, eat here and live longer. And right across the street, amen, it says, eat here and die happy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I am what God says that I am. I am a son of God. Adopted into His very family. Amen. I am a child of the Most High God. Paul said, you are to all the believers, regardless of their strata in society, their spiritual condition at the time, whether a babe in Christ or whether they're mature in Christ. They all, you are, as the body of Christ, you are a royal priesthood. Can you say amen? You are a holy nation. All of the redeemed make up this holy nation. These people set apart unto God exclusively as His very own. You're a holy nation. Hallelujah. You are a chosen generation. Can you say amen? The Bible said clearly, you didn't choose God. You responded to Him choosing you. You didn't choose God. He chose you. If He didn't send the Holy Spirit to get you, you couldn't have come to Him. But He made the choice. He sent the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? No man comes to me but my Father draw him. And He drew you with loving kindness. Hallelujah. Amen. So that makes you a chosen generation. Did you know if the scuzziest person in that neighborhood walked in that door and knelt at that altar, when they got up from that altar, I could look them in the eye with this authority of Scripture and say, you are a royal priest. You are a chosen generation. You're part now of a holy nation. And you are a peculiar people. And that doesn't mean weird. It means that you are a special people unto God, as the Old Testament says, above all the people of the earth. You are set apart unto Him. Amen. You're peculiar. You're different. God has set His heart on you. For the life of me, I haven't figured out why. And I include me in the you. Can you say amen? But thank God He did it. I love the song again. I don't know why Jesus loved me. I don't know why He cared. I don't know why that He gave his life. But oh, I'm so glad he did. I don't know why Jesus loved me. I don't know why Jesus cared. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad. So glad he did. Are you glad that he did? You are what he says you are. You have what he says you have. You can do what he says you can do. Amen. So he has said that we may boldly say. Hebrews 13:5 is how this thing works. He has said that we might boldly say. Amen. How many believe whatever God said you can confidently say? Whatever God said you can courageously and boldly proclaim. Can you say amen? You may not feel it. You may not see it. The only thing you may have in your heart is God said it. So it's time for you to say what he has said. And I'm not just quoting chapter and verse, but responding. Paul didn't quote the chapter again. He didn't quote the actual words. He responded to it in faith. He hath said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, that we might boldly say, the Lord's my helper. I won't fear what man can do unto me. Amen. Hallelujah. With the heart. Now listen, there's a name it, claim it thing out there that we think we can create. We can create wealth. We can do all these things with our words. Our words have the power. No, God has the power. Amen. Our words just need to line up with God's word. Hallelujah. Can you understand what I'm saying? But don't throw out confession. Don't throw that out. I'm going to say this to you in honesty and in love, but you will never rise above your confession. You can talk about your feelings all day long. I've never eaten possum, but they say if you don't cook it right, the more you chew it, the bigger it gets. Instead of getting smaller where you can swallow, it kind of swells up in your mouth. You could choke on it. So you got to know how to cook it right. Amen. I've never eaten. There's a lot of things. I asked a guy at work, and he was from Mississippi, and I asked him, what is the most exotic food you've ever eaten? Because people were talking about going on cruises. Amen. And he said, mule lips and rice. Well, you eat cow tongue. What you got against the mule? Sister Ruth says, I don't eat cow tongue. I believe Ruth is secretly a blue blood. I think she's related to the queen. I'm just glad to have her here. Anyway, moving right along. Hallelujah. God is so good. Amen. Do you realize when you talk your trouble, what happens? The trouble gets bigger. The more you chew it, the bigger it gets. Because it's keeping it in the forefront, keeping it in focus. Amen. Amen. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. But when faith arrives, it all changes. The trouble is not gone. The mountain is still there. Amen. But now God is looked to as your source and your supreme. Can you say amen? His supremacy overrides any of the problems in your life. I am what God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. Can you say amen? And I have and possess what God says I possess. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. Not when I feel goose pimples. 24/7. He's there, resident in my life. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Christ said through him, he'll abide with you forever. It's not when you feel him that he shows up. When you feel him is when you become aware of his consistent presence. He was just as there when you felt the worst. Hallelujah. God is so good. Did I say the worst? 1 Corinthians 11:26 says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do, what's that word in the King James? S-H-E-W. There was bread in the temple called the S-H-E-W, the showbread. Amen? For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. The Greek word is kaphangelo. I know how to pronounce that because there's a little speaker by the word in the online, and it will pronounce it for you. So I got this right. Amen. Kaphangelo. Kaphangelo. And it means to proclaim. Every time we receive communion, we kaphangelo his death till he come. We proclaim publicly. That's what the word means. It means in the Greek to announce or to make known. Isn't that incredible? I like what Wall says, who comments on show. It means to announce publicly, he says. The Greek does not mean to dramatically represent, but ye publicly profess each of you, the Lord has died for me. Everybody say, the Lord has died for me. That's what we're about to do publicly when we receive communion, is proclaim through what we're doing visibly, the Lord has died for me. Matthew Henry puts it this way. It was to show forth Christ's death, to declare and publish it. It is not barely in remembrance of Christ, of what he's done and suffered, that this ordinance was instituted, but to commemorate, to celebrate his glorious condensation and grace in our redemption. We declare his death to be the spring of all our comforts and hopes, and we glory in such a declaration. We show forth his death and spread it before the Lord as our accepted sacrifice and ransom. We set it in view of our own faith and our own comfort and quickening, and we own it before the world by this very service, that we are disciples of Christ who trust in him alone for salvation and acceptance with God. Can you say amen? What can wash away my sin? Imputed to us because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We declare that we believe we're going to heaven because Jesus died for us. And we do it again and again and again and again. Hallelujah. We confess it to God and we shout it to the devil. Every enemy has been conquered. Every foe vanquished. Every weapon neutralized. I mean, don't you love the scripture in Isaiah? No weapon. See, we talk about Satan's arsenals and what's coming against us. But the Bible said if you stand in your standing. Everybody say, stand in my standing. No weapon can prosper if you stand in your standing. You've got to get out of your standing for a weapon to prosper. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. This is the heritage of the servants. Everybody say, this is my birthright. When I was born again, say it, when I was born again, I have a birthright of victory over every enemy and every foe. Hallelujah. Amen. This is your birthright, your new birthright. No weapon that is, listen, the whole context of that is the bringing in of the Gentiles into the wonderful covenant of Abraham. Amen. These storm-tossed people that were not covered, he said, I'm going to visit you in the latter days. I'm going to bring you into the covenant, and it's going to be a new covenant, and it's going to be Jew and Greek, bond and free, male and female. Woo! And when you get in that place, no weapon formed against you will prosper. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and here's your standing. Where you need to stand in for that to work for you. The next verse says, and their righteousness is of me, saith God. That means it's God imputed and God granted. Amen. Satan can't pick you apart because the armor that you wear is God's own. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise today. It's God's armor. That is not license to sin. It's an encouragement to win, to overcome. Having done all, to stand. Stand where? Stand in your standing. I am what God says I am. I have what God says I have, and I can do what God says I can do. Hallelujah. Amen. Their righteousness is of who? Amen. Is the church you belong to that grants that? Is it your personal piety? No. It's a God-granted thing. The positional part. There's a personal aspect to this, but when you stand in your standing, you have to stand in that place. God has placed you in His Son. Hallelujah. Every word spoken against us, listen, every word spoken against us will be stopped. Every accuser cast down. We're declaring publicly that we are the recipients of all that the blood of Jesus has accomplished in our behalf. And honey, that is a whole lot of blessing. It's all through the blood of Jesus. Let me read this from Hebrews 12:24. It says, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Everybody say this with me. The blood of Jesus speaks. And so should we. Let the redeemed of the Lord do what? Let them say so. Say that with me again. The blood of Jesus speaks. And so should we. Let me read it from the Amplified. And to Jesus, the mediator, go-between, agent of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks of mercy, a better and nobler and more gracious message than the blood of Abel, which cried out for vengeance. Can you say, man? Remember the story of the first murder in Genesis? How Cain killed Abel, and God came to Cain and said, where's your brother? He wants him to confess his sin, and he won't. He gives him the opportunity to confess his sin, and he won't. He's still covering up for it. And he says, am I my brother's keeper? And then God answers him in Genesis 4:10 and says, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. You know that blood speaks? Whether it be the innocent blood that's shed, the blood guiltiness that sin brings upon us, blood speaks. Amen. Do you know underneath the throne, there are the souls of them that have been martyred. Their blood has been shed. Innocent blood has been shed for the sake of the gospel, and it's a growing number, and it's not finished yet. More people will die for the sake of the gospel. As long as we live in a fallen world and Christ's kingdom is not upon the earth, people will continue to give their life's blood. People in our world in the 21st century are dying for this faith that we have access to in the safety and security, and many people won't take advantage of that. Let me tell you a way of saying so. You practice communion as a way of saying that you're redeemed. Amen. Water baptism is a way of proclaiming that you are redeemed. Attending church, amen, publicly gathering, forsaking not the what? Assembling of yourselves together, not in front of the television, but together. The television audience can't bear one another's burdens. You can't bear one another's burdens looking at the tube. Can you say, man, if you're too sick to move and get here, watch it on television. But if you can move limbs and walk in this building, this is where the redeemed are supposed to be gathered, in a church somewhere, in a body, glorifying God. Hallelujah. Amen. Every time we sing praises, if it's coming from the heart, if it's authentic and genuine in sincerity, amen, not just rehearsed, if it's coming from the heart, the redeemed are saying so in song. Hallelujah. We say so with our life. Amen. We don't just say these things alone. We live them out. We walk them out. We publicly proclaim that we're the followers of Jesus, and men see our good works and they do what? They glorify our Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Blood cries. And the people under the throne of God, that close to Him that He keeps so close a proximity to Himself, they cry out, how long, O Lord, wilt Thou not avenge our blood upon the inhabitants of the earth? Amen. All innocent blood cries for justice and vengeance. All innocent blood cries that. But the blood of Jesus has another message. Amen. How many know the blood of Jesus speaks and it brings another message? Father, forgive them. While the blood is running down His body and His brow and puddling on the ground, He's crying, Father, forgive them. The blood of Jesus speaks of better things than that of Abel. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Jesus didn't cry, God did them from the cross, but God forgive them from the cross. Aren't you glad, amen, that this blood speaks, amen, and cries out to God for mercy and grace for undeserving people like you and I? Let me tell you this again. The blood of Jesus speaks, and we should too. Can you say amen? We show His death. We proclaim His death till He comes. Let the redeemed of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, you need to learn to say so. Even when you don't feel it, say so. Because it is so. Can you say amen? I'm not asking you to tell a lie. You say, well, I'm going to be totally honest. You're not being honest if you're not being truthful. And you're not being truthful as a Christian if you're not lining up with God's Word. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Your emotions lie to you. They tell you heaven is brass. It isn't. That's a feeling. But the fact is, if somebody gives you a check for $1 million or tells you it's in Jacksonville, and you just can't believe it, so you won't go receive it, would you please sign it over to me? I will go get it. Because I don't need to feel like it to go up and get it. If I know for a fact it's mine, I can go in a bank and write a check on it. I don't have to wait for an unction or get a witness or pray through. Somebody deposits $100,000 in your account, I don't believe you're going to go in and say, Lord, you want me to have this? You think it ruined me or what? No. Say, if you didn't want me to have it, you shouldn't have let them put it there. I'm going to go get it. Anyway, just thought I'd tell you that. Don't look at me and say, oh, I wouldn't go without praying. Sure you would. Anyway, you should pray about everything. On the way to get it. No, I'm serious. God blesses people, and we don't, a lot of times, just don't reach out and take it by faith. We have to feel it first before we will believe it. Amen? We have to feel it before we believe. I just don't feel. Well, what has that got to do with fact? Amen? Dale, what were you before you were a Ninnis? You were a Shiren. Did you ever get up some morning? I mean, you were a Shiren. You had Shiren blood running through your veins. Undeniably Shiren. Like it or not, Shiren. Can you say amen? Amen? Do you ever get up some morning and say, you know, I've been thinking about this. I don't really feel like a Shiren. Amen. Well, the fact is you are one. You don't have to feel like one to be one. You are one. Amen. You're going to get up some morning and not feel like a son of God. Amen. You're going to feel like you've been jerked to a knothole backwards, but it isn't going to change the fact. You're going to get up some morning and begin to pray, and because of your emotional situation or your imminent circumstance, you're going to feel like heaven is brass. I've got good news for you. Amen. Heaven is a lot more stable than your feelings. Amen. Listen, their righteousness is of me means that what you have received from God can't be shaken by the circumstance or your feelings. Isn't that incredible? His eyes are always consistently upon the righteous. And his ear is open when heaven seems like it's brass. His ear is open. The blood has spoken in your behalf. You should begin to speak according to what the blood has said. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You're not perfect yet. And you're not worthy of any answered prayer unless you're 100% perfect. The blood says they're not perfect yet. But they have a standing. Can you say amen? All along the way of being perfected, they have a standing. And lining up the Word with the Word of God, saying what God has said about what the blood of Jesus has done. Amen. Is standing in your standing. Hallelujah. Everybody say, stand in my standing. Oh, God, deliver us from our emotions. Deliver us from our self-accusation. Amen. If you got a sin, get it under the blood and get rid of it. Hallelujah. You got weaknesses, join the club. When I'm weak, Christ pours on me. Then am I made truly strong, Paul said. Don't wear your weaknesses on your sleeve. Amen. The blood of Jesus speaks of better things. Because it cries for mercy for the weak. Hallelujah. I'll give him a hand clap today. What does Christ's blood say to God? Three things as we close. What does the blood say to God? It cries that our sin debt is paid in full. That Jesus has paid it all. That his substitutionary vicarious death, his sacrifice on the cross, his offering, satisfied God's demand for justice. The blood says to God, they are innocent because I've suffered for their sins. 1 Corinthians 5:7 calls Jesus this. It says, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The institution of the Lord's Supper was during the celebration of the Passover meal. They were taking the cups, amen, and drinking from those ceremonial cups at that supper. Amen. They ate the prescribed foods. They went through the prescribed remembrance of that Passover. And Jesus stands and says, This is my body. This is my blood. This whole Passover thing is all about me in the new covenant. It's going to be fulfilled in me at the cross. Can you say amen? Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed. Remember when the death angels going through Egypt? They're told to take the blood, strike it upon the doorpost and the lintel. And when you put that blood with hyssop on the lintel, it's not like painting it smoothly with a paintbrush. It's splashing it out of a basin, just literally splashing it. The blood sprinkled the person. It puddled on the doorway. So there was blood in the whole circumference of the entrance to every house. And God said something about that blood. The blood speaks. And how does God react to what the blood has to say? If Jesus is our Passover and He uses that to identify with in the new covenant. Verse 13 of Exodus 12 says this, and this is God speaking, "And the blood shall be for you a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see blood, I will pass over you." Can you say amen? Don't keep trying to present yourself in this total package of perfection. God is not looking for your total package of perfection. He wants you to go on being perfected, to keep reaching forward. Amen. But I'm telling you, what God is looking for now is what He looked for then. Amen. What He looked for on the doorpost, He's looking for on your life. And that is the blood. And when I see the blood... Come on, this is God talking, not some denominational church with their personal belief. God says, "I'm going to pass over you." That's why I want to get sinners washed in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let God grow them up, but let's get them in. Hallelujah. Woo! When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Egypt has always been a type of the fallen pagan world. And Israel, a type, amen, of Zion, the church. And I'm talking about the church in the full sense of Jew and Greek in the New Testament. Andrew Murray said the blood must have the same place in our hearts which it has with God. I heard a call-in show last night. Someone was asking an 80-year-old pastor, pretty wise man. We disagree on certain issues, but I disagree with everybody on certain issues. And they certainly disagree with me. But one thing we should agree on, if you know Jesus, you're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand. When we get to heaven, you'll all see that I was right. But until... No, that's a proud thing to say. I repent. If I had sackcloth, I'd put it on. I'm sure we could find some ashes in the parking lot. Anyway, moving right along. God is good. He's good to His people. And there are cardinal truths we can't fellowship with. But there, listen, some people believe we're not going to heaven until mid-tribulation. Some people at the end. I would be so glad on the way up to say, yeah, I told you so. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But the bottom line is that when He comes, we go with Him. That we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. That we are marked for mercy. Amen. This blood speaks and so should we. And you shouldn't say what you feel. You should say what you know as a spiritual fact. Amen. Because what you say will begin to affect your feelings after a while. Amen. Do you realize your emotions can be affected with your words? You can tear yourself down. And you can build yourself up on your most holy faith. Amen. Praying in the... In your feelings, your emotions? No, praying in the Holy Ghost. The best time to defer to Him is when you feel so rotten and faithless and worthless. Because He knows better. Can you say amen? He knows better. Pray in tongues. And then praise Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise Him anyway. Spirit searches the deep things of God. He prays according to the will of God. And God has a plan for you in spite of you. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, this is so good. The blood must take the same place in our hearts as it has with God. And we can rely on the Lord Jesus by His Spirit to reveal unto us the power of His blood. Amen. And he says, goes on to say, Andrew Murray, and boy, he's so good on the blood. There is no single scriptural idea from Genesis to Revelation more constantly and more prominently kept in view than that expressed by the words, the blood. Amen. Can you agree with that? There can be no approach to God, no fellowship with Him by faith, no enjoyment of His favor apart from the blood. By the institution of the Passover as an enduring ordinance with the words, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." The people were taught that life can be obtained only by the death of a substitute. Life was possible for them only through the blood of a life given in their place and appropriated by the sprinkling of that blood. It was in that blood, by the covenant, that the covenant had its foundation and power. It's by the blood alone that God and man can be brought into covenant fellowship. Without blood, there could be no access by sinful man to a holy God. On Moriah, the life was redeemed by the shedding of blood. In Egypt, it was sprinkled on the doorpost of the houses. But at Sinai, it was sprinkled on the people themselves. Moses literally sprinkled the blood on the people. The contact was closer. The application more powerful. When it's sprinkled on doorposts, it's one thing. When it's sprinkled on the brazen altar, it's another at the mercy seat. But when it's sprinkled on you, hallelujah. I said when it's sprinkled on you, you can see the progression, amen, of a personal Savior, where that blood would be applied to your life, amen. Can you say amen? If you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, God sees the blood of Jesus. Speaks to God in our behalf. What does the blood of Christ say to we who've accepted Jesus as our Savior? What's it say to you and me? We know what it says to God. What's it say to us? It cries, we are forgiven. You're forgiven, Dale. Forgiven, Pamela. You're forgiven, George. Hallelujah. We're reconciled to God. There's no enmity. We're accepted in the Beloved. That's how he can't accept us outside of Him, but in Him He can receive us. Our past is past. The blood of Jesus should tell us our past is gone, forgetting the things that are behind. Why? Because they're behind. And reaching forth to the things that are where? Before. You say, Brother Venable, you don't know what I've done. Young lady called in that had had an abortion. She came to Christ, and now she's feeling terrible guilt and pain. And it's okay to feel guilt and pain as long as you handle that correctly. Amen. We shouldn't sin with impunity. But when you feel the guilt and pain and remorse, it should lead to repentance. But when repentance is based on what Jesus' blood has supplied, amen, once it's done, we should never look back. Amen. God is the God of the new beginning. And I know there are people who would limit how many we get. Amen. There was a question asked Jesus one time, if my brother sinned against me and he asked me to forgive him, how many times am I obligated? And Peter thought he would be big and generous in heart. And he said, seven times? I mean, you know, Peter wasn't known for, he was known for a short fuse. He went for people's heads with swords. And Peter thought he was really being big and generous when he said seven times. And you know what Jesus turned and said? Everybody said the generosity of grace. Don't ever tell anybody they can't have a new beginning because you're exasperated with them. Because you feel they've crossed your line. Honey, it's not your line, it's the bloodline we're talking about here. Amen. Listen, there is a sacrifice for that sinner. It's been shed and put in place at a place called Mount Calvary. And if that sinner will come, though he is undeserving, though there's nothing in him that warrants that, if he will come, he will get the same grace you got that flows from that cross. That's why we bid them come. And whosoever will, yeah, that scuzzy one that doesn't deserve anything but punishment and damnation, come and drink of the river of life. Freely, can you say, man? Listen, if that grace will work for them, it's got to work for you. When your conscience accuses you and the devil accuses you, you got to rise up from the ashes and say, the blood of Jesus speaks in my behalf. Hallelujah. The moment I repent, it's applied. I will not try to mingle legalism with grace. You're either saved by grace or you're not saved at all. You have nothing to offer God. Your righteousness is as a filthy rag in His sight. That's why when we get it down and we get it good and we get super sanctified, we need to be so merciful to people that God is still working on. You know why? Because except for the grace of God, there go I, there go you. Hebrews 9, 12 through 14 says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Purge your conscience. Purge your conscience. The Bible said having your conscience sprinkled from evil by the blood of Jesus. That means don't walk around all day thinking about your sin once it's confessed and under the blood. Amen. Come boldly before the throne of grace, because grace has covered all of your sin. If you're authentic. I'm into repentance. I want to apply the blood as often as necessary to my life. I don't want to use it as a cloak for maliciousness. Use grace inordinately. God won't tolerate that. But thank God for the safety net called grace. I went to school with a young man by the name of Hugo Zucchini. And he was part of the flying Zucchinis. They were trapeze artists. Except for his daddy, who wasn't good at grabbing and holding on and all these things. You got to really be, you know, super limber and all that to do the trapeze stuff. But one thing he could do, you know what they could do with him? They could stuff him down in a cannon and blow him out of it. And he could fly through the air. You don't have to be good at much of nothing to go flying out of the barrel of a cannon. Except Landy. But both for him and both for them, the rest of the family that messed around, I would go to his house and they'd have the trapezes set up and there's a huge safety net. And did you know something? Nobody up there just got up there and kept jumping in the net. They jumped up and got their act down. And they got their timing down and they did everything in their power to get it right. But if they ever missed it, they were able to climb up and go at it again, because there was a net. Can you say amen? They call them daredevils who work without a net. Everyone needs a net. Amen. You know what grace is and what the blood has provided? There is a safety net for you, and there's a safety net for me. And nobody could go to heaven. Amen. No one would ever make it if that debt didn't catch you at some time or another and keep you from being destroyed. Aren't you glad for a safety net called grace? Aren't you glad for what the blood of Jesus has provided? I'm going to preach holiness to the hilt. It'll get hot in here with 60 degrees when I preach holiness. Amen. Because the flesh will react many times to that message of sanctification. I will not let up on that message. But I'm going to tell you up front, amen, in the end of it all, it's by grace that you are saved through faith. It is the gift of God. You will never get it down so good, amen, to be worthy of walking through those gates into that city. Only one reason you're going to do that, and it's because the blood of Jesus was shed for you. And the day before, amen, Jesus comes, some old sinner is going to walk through the door of a church or get down in a flea bag motel by the bed with a Gideon Bible and call upon the name of the Lord. And because of what the blood of Jesus has provided, as undeserving as they are, can you say amen? The Bible said not only on the day of Pentecost did the Spirit come to give us liver shivers, amen, and goose pimples. But it said, amen, as many, the result of that outpouring was, as many as call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Because God said, that applies the blood. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory! It is amazing, though, that though the God of the universe doesn't accuse us, sometimes our own conscience continues to do it. And not only our conscience, but our enemy. Everybody say devil. Satan means adversary, opposer, but devil really tells us how he opposes us. The word devil, diabolos, means accuser. Their whole religion is built on layering guilt on people, not bringing conviction, but just layering in guilt. No wonder people just get depressed because they know they can never rise to where they think they need to be to get accepted by God. And they fight a losing battle and they give up altogether. Grace has provided a wonderful, powerful impetus to live right, to serve God. People that are really into grace are really sanctified saints. They don't want to hurt Him. They don't want to drag this covenant in the dirt. They don't want to drag righteous robes in the filth of the world. Why? Because they understand and appreciate what this robe really is. It's His righteousness granted. I'm wearing His robe. Amen. There's a guy at work got a brand new Lincoln LS. He says, "Do you want to drive it?" I said, "No way." Not a $30,000 car that just came off the showroom. Park it in Walmart a few months, then I'll drive it. It'll already have the dings on it, and somebody else will have done it, and you'll have gotten over it. Can you say amen? Isn't it amazing that the God of the universe no longer accuses us, but our conscience sometimes does? Getting God's forgiveness isn't as difficult as accepting it and proclaiming it and forgiving ourselves. One of the great hymn writers of the past struggled with these very issues. His name was William Cowper, C-O-P-E-R. I think in England it was pronounced Cooper. A young lawyer, brilliant mind. He lost his mother, was studying for the bar. He was already practicing law, but he was getting ready to take the bar exam. And he suffered a complete mental breakdown. And he was consigned to an asylum. I'll tell you something about William Cowper, what he discovered. While confined in the asylum and suffering from prolonged periods of deep depression, he would spend much of his time in reading the scriptures, remembering his spiritual upbringing as a child and his concern for the eternal destiny of his soul. He struggled with the question of his salvation and peace with God. One day, while reading the book of Romans, he was confronted with the words of the Apostle Paul, who said, "Isn't it good when scripture just jumps out at you? Have you, boy, it's powerful. It's rhema then, not just logos. For all have sinned." Romans 3:23 is where he was reading through 25. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation or a satisfaction through faith in His blood." Everybody say, "Through faith in His blood." See, that's what we're going to proclaim this morning, that we have faith in His blood. Can you say amen? Do you have faith in His blood? Glory to God. "Through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." He read that. And while admitting, it says, his need of personal redemption and the sufficiency that is in the shed blood of Jesus, our great Savior, being convicted by the Holy Spirit, William Cowper realized a personal relationship with Jesus and a sense of forgiveness of sin. He therefore was gloriously converted at the age of 33 years old in a mental institution in 1764. And honey, a mental institution, an asylum in 1764 was a horrid, horrible place to be, and it's not a lot better today. He soon moved to Olney, England, and to attend the parish Anglican church, pastored by, look who God hooked him up with. This guy that had depression and all about his spiritual life, and who he hooked him up with the Reverend John Newton, who was the author of the hymn, "Amazing Grace." Wow. Isn't God great? Brony, hook us up with the right connection. While living in the Olney parish, William Cowper lived in a small house whose backyard joined the parsonage yard where Reverend Newton and his family resided. Here at the Olney parish, Newton and Cowper became very close friends, worked together in the writing of religious poetry for the services of the church. Reverend Newton became a spiritual father to Cowper and a real source of needed inspiration in helping him overcome his spells of religious doubts, mental depressions, and emotional morbidity. Amen. There's people that struggle with melancholia, that go through things. See, the blood of Jesus becomes that anchor. Hallelujah. I mean, he hooks him up to a man that says, "I can't tell you about everything you feel and sense and why you feel it, but I know something about grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." Even after Cowper's conversion, he endured several periods of time when he seriously doubted the love of God for him. See, your feelings will deny these facts sometimes. And his security as a believer. Both Newton and Cowper were very talented poets, writers of religious verse, and with their combined efforts produced the famous Olney Hymns. This book of 349 hymns became one of the most important contributions to musical worship in evangelical Christianity. Among the 67 hymns written by William Cowper while living at Olney, under the patient care of Mrs. Irwin and the spiritual inspiration of his pastor, John Newton, the hymn that testifies of his final peace with his Savior stands out as one of the anthems of the church and a monument to the sovereign grace of God. While sitting alone one day at his desk in his little house, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and with the words of the prophet Zechariah fresh in his mind. Would you like to know what it was he was reading? He read from Zechariah 13:1. In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. Can you say, man, a day is coming when God's going to open up a fountain of grace. When they plunged that sword and water and blood came out of the side of that spear. Amen. Hallelujah. A fountain was opened up. When they pierced those hands, a fountain was opening. When they pierced his brow, a fountain was opening. Hallelujah. With that fresh in his mind, he began to pen these words. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there have I, though vile as he, washed all my sins away. Washed all my sins away. Washed all my sins away. And there have I, though vile as he, washed all my sins away. Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Till the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. The blood will always cry unto God, speak in our behalf. Ere since by faith I saw the stream thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. And shall be till I die. Then in nobler, sweeter song I'll sing thy power to save when this poor lip-seen, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave. He said, I'm going to be singing. Though this tongue's there, I'm going to be singing. The last stanza says, Lord, I believe thou hast prepared, unworthy though I be, for me a blood-bought free reward, a golden heart for me. 'Tis strung and tuned for endless years and formed by power divine. To sound in God the Father's ears, no other name but thine. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad William Cowper hooked up with John Newton? Hallelujah. Who told him about the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Anything less could have pushed him on down. But this lifted him up. The blood of Jesus speaks to God. The blood of Jesus speaks to us. And I need a whole other service for this. The blood of Jesus speaks to the devil. God doesn't condemn us. We must not allow condemnation to trouble our minds and hearts once we've repented. But the devil hates the message of the cross. He hates the blood of Jesus. For through it we are delivered, and he knows it. Revelation 12, 10 and 11, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength, the kingdom of our God, the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren. Satan means diablos, a maligner, an accuser, someone who attacks your character to destroy you before people and to yourself, is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they loved not their life to the death. That means they were willing to lay down their life for Jesus. And they conquered him, the Amplified said, by means of the blood of the Lamb and by the utterance of their testimony. The blood speaks, and so should we. Let the redeemed. We need to always plead the blood of Jesus when engaging the accuser in spiritual warfare. We are redeemed by Christ's blood. We are ransomed from the fall. We proclaim His death for us. Can you say amen? I just got one more thing I want to read. I like this. The devil is our accuser. The only successful plea is the blood of Jesus. Pleading our innocence, our merits, or our good works will fail. Only relying on the shed blood of our substitute sacrifice, the Lamb of God, will win our case before God the judge. However the enemy comes, he can be overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We have victory over every evil because of Jesus' shed blood. Our lives must also be fully committed to God. We must trust Him. We must have faith in what God has done and what He is doing. He's delivered us from the power of darkness, Colossians says, and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. We must say we're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Listen to this. In the name of Jesus, I want you to say these things with me. Just practice pleading just a little bit. It's biblical to do that. In the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus for my healing. In the name of Jesus, I apply the blood of Jesus to this sickness. See, you got to understand. You're not going to get worthy of it. You're not going to be spiritually mature enough to get it. The people that get miracles from God the easiest are brand new Christians who haven't been laden with guilt somewhere yet. They feel free, they feel clean, and they are. Can you say amen? Not because they've made a lot of progress, but because the blood has been applied. Some churches taught you get saved, and then there's a second act of grace, you get sanctified. You cannot expect the Holy Ghost until you get pure enough for Him to live in there. Well, He ain't going to live in your old fleshly shell. Amen? He's going to live in your spirit that's been cleansed by blood. And you can't get no cleaner than the blood is going to make you in there. God comes in. Christ comes in. Amen. If God can come in and be comfortable, Christ can come in and be comfortable. I believe the Holy Spirit is not holier than them. Oh, you didn't hear me. He's not holier than them. Amen. Oh, no, He's not. The blood has done something powerful in you. Amen. I resist you evil with the blood of the Lamb. Say it with me. I resist you evil with the blood of the Lamb. I draw a bloodline around my home, and the devil cannot cross it. I draw a bloodline of protection around my property and possessions. I plead the blood of Jesus against this problem. I apply the blood of Jesus to this problem. And bind its power to remain. There's power in Christ's blood to set everything right. Listen, Satan. Jesus' blood works right now in me and for me to remove every evil work. No weapon will prosper. Hallelujah. Somebody give Him praise. Let me finish. I hold the blood of Jesus against you, Satan, and declare on God's word that it overcomes you. And that you flee. I will continue to believe and to repeat what I've said until every trace of this trouble is gone. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Woo! Somebody give Him praise. Woo! Glory to God. Let's stand to your feet and give Him praise. We're going to receive communion in victory. Can you receive communion standing up? Can you pass the tray while we stand?